Or are you like the rest of the world and life was tough this week? Life's hard, man. Catches us off guard and we don't know what to do. But you came to church. Proud of you. Thanks for coming. Glad you're here. Hopefully when you leave here today, you'll be encouraged, challenged, just to be able to go set the world on fire for Him. So we're talking about membership. We're talking about what it means to be a part of Townsend Free Will Baptist Church, how you can serve, how you can do different things, and kind of what we're looking for. I was talking to the first service this morning, and when we are looking at this, last week we talked about the first part of joining our church is you actually got to be a member of something else, which that is God's family. You got to be a member of the bigger picture of what God is trying to do, and that begins with a relationship with Him. And as I was talking with them, we talked through what we're going to actually be looking at over the next 5 weeks, which are kind of the five tenets of what it means to be a membership of Townsend Church. Now, for some of us, it's very easy to think, well, they're just going to add two things, and this is going to be extra stuff that the church is looking for. This is kind of their preference stuff. And what I want to do is I want to dispel that and knock that wall down now, because the things we're going to go over the next 5 weeks isn't just what we're looking for to be a member of our church. The things that we're going to share with you are actually scriptural principles of how you're to live your Christian life already anyway. And so all we're trying to do is to take what we know to be true in Scripture and say, this is what we want you to truly commit to if you want to be a member or a servant here at our church. Now, for some of you, you may not be interested in joining anything or being a member, and that's fine. You are more than welcome to continue to worship here, continue to be a part of what's going on here. We welcome that and encourage that. But for those of you that wants to take that next step and really get involved in our church, we ask that you join. Be a member to where you can actively serve and be a part of what's going on. And again, Willie, love you, buddy, but you need to find a seat. Thanks. One of the things that we really want to make sure that you focus on before you focus on joining our church above anything else is this, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your heart is in God's hands, that you have accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, that He has forgiven your sins, and that you have committed your life to follow Him, not just to be in church on Sunday, not just to do the cool stuff, but to really, truly follow what God asks us to do. Not just what you hear on Sunday mornings, but I'm talking about getting into the Word, figuring God out and what He wants from your life, and then actually doing it. That's what we're looking for. So, just like any other place you want to join, you have certain things you got to follow. That's what we're looking for here. And it's, again, nothing different than what's already in Scripture. So last week, here's the first thought that we had. It's already on the screen. We talked about to believe on Jesus Christ gives salvation to the believer. And we talk about all kinds of things because there's plenty of Scripture that talks about believe in the name of the Lord, believe in Jesus, believe in. But there's also passages that talk about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I was trying to express last week was this. Lots of people believe in God. There's lots of things that I believe in. But the things that I really believe in, I'm going to believe on. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to base everything that there is about me on it because I know that it's true. I believe that it's true. So I'm not just believing in God, but I'm believing on God because it is what God did for me through His Son that grants me salvation. So when my faith is placed in that, I now have started a relationship with Jesus Christ or with God through His Son. And then we actually took it a step further because Scripture actually puts some big importance on following in believer's baptism. Now, believer's baptism does not grant you any extra salvation or any extra washing of the sins, but here's what it is. It is obedience. It is taking that step of, I want to follow you, God, and the first call that we are to do in obedience is to be baptized. And let me tell you something, folks, if we can't do that, if that is hard for us to obey in that, how in the world are you going to be expected to follow the things that God's asking us to do in Scripture? That's the easy part. You sit up there, I do all the talking. You hold your breath, I throw you under the water and bring you out. I know it's embarrassing. I know some of you don't want to get your hair wet and you don't want to be in front of people, but let me tell you something. Jesus died on a cross for you. The least you can do is to go under a little bit of water. That's easy. That's when the fun starts. That's when the world really begins to change for you because now you have entered into a walk and a relationship with a holy God that actually wants more from us. He wants to challenge us and help us to excel in this walk with Him. And so the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at what that looks like, what we believe for believers, period, and for members of our church. This is what we're looking for you to do. So here's the first thought. It's a proper focus encourages active participation. A proper focus encourages active participation. So one of the things that we believe as a team here at church, as your leadership team, we believe that if we can focus properly on God, then you're going to actively participate in His work. Not because you have to, but because you're going to want to. You see, as your focus begins to get a little bit clearer, a little bit more pointed into who God is, as to who He wants to be in your life, as to what He can do through you, in you, and around you, and as who you can become in Him, that focus becomes very, very clear. And as it becomes very, very clear, you're going to want to serve Him. Because you're going to realize how wretched you are. Isn't that nice to hear on a Sunday morning? How awful we are and how really we're not very good at anything. But that through Him, when He enacts the cool stuff that He's already instilled in us, when He puts that stuff to work, now we can do something. And we want to do it. So that's really what we're looking for. Have a great day. See you next week. That was supposed to be funny and none of y'all laughed. That's why I don't tell jokes. So the biggest thing that we want from you guys is just simple active participation. Because as a believer, we have a responsibility to be active in the work of God. You know, I think about if you want me to paint your house, I'll come do it. But you probably won't ask me back. Because my focus is not on painting the house the best that it can be. My focus is just to get it done. That's not my strong suit. It's not something that I am committed to put a lot of time and effort in to be perfect at it. Because I know that it's not really who I am. But now, let's talk about golf. I will give you proper focus and I can help make you better. Because it's something that I am committed to. It's something that I want to give all of my focus to. And when I give all of my focus to it, then I am actively participating in that event. I'm going to do all that I can to do and to know how to do it the best. Does that make sense? So there are things that we look at and say, I don't really want to do that. And then there are things that we say, yes, I want to do that, and we give all of our attention to it. Well, let me tell you something. This whole Christian walk, this whole Christian journey, this I'm going to follow God, I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to believe in God, I'm going to believe on Jesus, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Talk is cheap. We got to stop playing this game of, yeah, I do it on Sundays, but the rest of the week I'm going to do what I want to do. That is not a proper focus. And with that type of focus, you're never, ever really going to get to the active participation because it's not going to be real for you. It's not going to be something that's important to you. It's not going to be something that's going to draw all of your attention to where you can give everything you have. You see, this walk, this journey, this decision to place your faith in somebody else is tough for us as humans. But when we can get to that place, we begin to refocus and reshift our thinking on how amazing God is. And when that begins to refocus and reshape, we will want to actively participate in what God is doing around you and in you. I did a study way back when I was a teenager. It was the study that really changed my whole outlook in my Christian walk. It was Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. What was the other guy? Do you remember? Was it Cloud? Anyway, Blackaby's the only one because it was an odd name. That's the only reason I remember it. But anyway, it was an amazing, amazing book. And the biggest thing that I took away from it was this. They hounded on this simple point. They said, see where God is at work and go join Him. That was so profound to me. Because so many times we want to do our own thing and God bless this. As I learn about my father, and as I learn about God, God doesn't need my help. He doesn't need me to create things. I create enough problems for Him already. He already has things working and doing and going. And all He is asking from me is to simply focus so much on Him that I begin to see the things where He's at work and go join it. Why? Because I have to? Yes. Because it's my job. No, because I want to. I want to go do that. I want to be a part of what's going on there. It's who I am. And It's really as a team where we want to push all of you to get to. Not to be like me, but to get to the place where you are so focused on God, you see where he's at work, and you just run to the opportunity to get involved. And we're going to see in Scripture today how it actually plays out and how it's important. And so this is such a spiritual aspect of who we are and what we're looking for in members of our church. We want people to be so focused on God that they are actively participating, not just in the church, but outside the church as well. You see, one of the biggest fallacies that we have, especially as believers in the church age that we live in, that going to Sunday morning is enough and that will carry me through the week. Let me tell you something. If you're waiting for me to feed you enough for the whole week, you're going to starve. I didn't expect quick response that way, but that's okay. It's the truth. I can't feed you enough in 30 minutes for you to be able to eat on that all week long. This active participation is not just showing up and hearing a message. It's not just showing up and singing some songs. It's going home, getting your dusty Bible out or pulling your phone up and finding some scripture and some verses and start reading it yourself. Figuring out who this God is. Take the stuff that I put out here, take some notes, go home and make sure I'm telling you the truth. Figure it out. Let God work on your heart. That is the active participation that I'm talking about. Are there things to be done around our church? Absolutely, all the time. We're always looking for volunteers. But I am more concerned with active participation in what is going on in your life as far as who God is and what he wants to do in you. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. And so when we look at Scripture, we're going to start in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 and 41. This is after the Holy Spirit has come down and he's moved through some people and really changed the church culture. There really wasn't a church culture before. But now people are starting to gather together. Not necessarily how we do it, but it's a little different. But they are seeing the value of getting together and worshiping together. So let's see what Peter has to say. And it says, it starts in verse 40, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now, I don't panic too much, but I can promise you, 3,000 souls walk through that door and give their heart and life to Christ, I'm going to panic a little bit. We're not ready for that. But could you imagine? Could you imagine how powerful those simple words were of, get away from the worldly ways that you're living and be saved? Wow. For some of us, it takes months of hearing the same thing over and over and over and over before we get a clue that God's trying to talk to us to make a change. And these people were so hungry for it that they simply heard, get away from your old life and be saved. And they did it. And not only did they do it, but they were baptized. They meant it. This was serious for them. 3,000 people. That stresses me out just thinking about it. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread with house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." These people were amazing. Not only were they saved and baptized, but they actually hung around. And they continued to come back day after day after day after day. Whether it was to the temple or to the houses, they were involved with other Christian people trying to figure this stuff out. Why is it so hard for us to do that? Because we're busy, right? We're so busy. We're so all about ourselves and all about our time. And, well, we got to get our kids here and we got to do this and I got to go do this and I got to take time for myself. It is a sad commentary of the today's church that we are so busy that we can't drop what we're doing to help somebody else out. It's a sad commentary to the church that most of the Christians that belong to churches are so in debt that they can't drop a couple of bucks to a neighbor that is in need. It's a sad commentary of where we're at, folks. We have allowed the ways of the world to mold us into the Christians that we really don't want to be. To the Christians that we shouldn't be, because Scripture says these people had it together. And it's easy to make the argument, well, that's a different time and different struggles and different things. Yes, I agree with that, but I refuse to use that as an excuse to allow me to continue living the way that I live. It's a sad commentary on us. We should be willing to drop what we're doing and help somebody else out. We should be willing to stop spending money on things we don't need in order to help each other out. That's where these people were at. And so in looking at this process, if we look at what they did, the very first thing that they did to be a part of this congregation, to be a part of this group, this movement that's happening, the very first thing is what we talked about last week. They had to be saved and baptized. So this is nothing different than what we're asking you to do. This was already set in motion a long time ago. To be a part of God's holy family, you got to have a relationship with Him, you got to be saved from your sins, and you need to be baptized. Pure and simple. So it's easy for us to look at that one and say, yeah, that's cool, we got that. I mean, 3,000 people did this. So it's not like it was the next coolest, greatest thing. This is the power of the Holy Spirit moving on their lives, the power of God's Word, causing them to come to the place where they realized they needed to be saved and baptized. And they were willing to receive the truth over how they used to live. That's probably the biggest thing that's a struggle for us. We hear sermons, we hear little quips, we go to go groups and we have classes and we hear great things and we think, yeah, man, I need to do that. But the moment we walk out these doors, the world takes back over and we forget about it and we just live life like nothing is any different. These people didn't do that. They changed their lives simply because of God's Word. And again, that's not just going to happen on Sunday mornings. That's going to happen in your go groups. That's going to happen in your Sunday school classes. That's going to happen in just having a lunch conversation with another believer. Or maybe having a family over, just hanging out and doing life together. That's where this stuff happens, guys. Not just here. Second thing was this, is they continued steadfastly. I want to read this scripture to you because it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. This is not something that just ended on Sunday morning. This is something that continually, day in and day out, they continued steadfastly in it. This is an ongoing thing. And I love the fact that he uses steadfastly because there was no wavering in this. They knew what they wanted, they knew what they believed, and they knew what they were going to do, and nothing was going to deter them from that. And I love the fact that it talks about how they got together and broke bread together. They ate dinners together. They spent time together. Maybe they went all day, did their jobs, and then the moment they left their job, they went to somebody's house because that's where the believers were going to be, and we're going to hang out and just do life together. Yeah, old Cindy Lou, she's got dinner tonight. Let's go. Well, Dave's got it next week, so we're going over there next week. Why is that hard for us? Because we're too stinking busy. A little bit later, he talks about was simpleness of heart, simpleness of mind. Man, how complicated we have complicated our world. How complicated we have made our schedules by just trying to cram everything we possibly can to expose our kids to everything that they can be exposed to. Listen, they're going to get their time. They're going to get their exposure. Slow down. Let's get the right thing in them first. To where when they are exposed to this other stuff, they know how to deal with it and how to handle it. That's the proper way. And then it also talks about how they prayed together. And I have a confession to make, and they're not here today, so I'll have to do this again. Rats. Yesterday, we were at Upward. Had a couple friend of mine come in, and she was talking about her dad and how awful, bad off he is. And she's just overcome with emotion. And the entire time I'm sitting there thinking, it's just me and another friend of mine and this couple and just maybe one or two other people sitting afar off. And the entire time I'm thinking in my head, Just ask him if you want me to pray for you. Just ask him if you can pray for him. Just ask him if they need some prayer. Just get up, give her a hug, and pray for her, and just provide comfort. And I didn't. And if I was younger and flexible, I'd kick myself in the face. I was so mad at myself. I'm like, why didn't you do that? You're the pastor. It's supposed to be easy for you. Which is what every one of y'all are thinking. And yet, as I always say, human just like you, struggles just like you, have pride just like you, have internal battles just like you. And so for that, because I didn't take advantage of that time, why was it so hard for me? Forget the fact that I'm a pastor, but as a Christian brother, why was it hard for me to simply look at her and say, can I simply pray for you? Why is that so hard? It's such a simple statement. I'll tell you why. It's hard because it's awkward, because we don't do it enough. It's not a part of our normal conversation because we're too into the world. What would happen if you went to work or to school or to your neighbor and you start listening to these stories that they're sharing, and in your heart, God says, why don't you just offer to pray for him? What if you actually did that? What would happen? What's the worst that can happen? Let me tell you the worst that can happen. You ready for this? No, I'm good. Oh, that hurts so bad. Oh, my goodness. That's the worst that can happen. And yet, in our minds, what do? Man, we blow these scenarios up all over the place that have no possibility of even coming true. And I blew it. My opportunity to reach out to my brother and sister and love on them and encourage them and pray with them, and I absolutely, totally, and completely blew it. But I learned from it. Same thing happened this morning, and I didn't blow it. Because I learned from it. You see, if we could just start doing that, taking our mess ups and our foul ups and owning it, but learning from it, how much better will our church be? How much better will you be? How much more effective can Christ be in your heart when you are willing to do the awkward stuff? And here's the great part. As we continue to do the awkward stuff, it won't be awkward anymore. Because it'll be a part of who you are. It'll be a part of what God is doing in your heart and in your life. And that is where we want to be. Because these people were doing that. These people are no different than us. We can play the time change difference, whatever you want to play, but they are no different than us. They heard the same word that you hear every Sunday. Be saved. Get out of the world. And they did it. Why are we not? Second thing, or third thing that they did, it talks about all who believed. That's a very generalized statement, but listen to this. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So next Sunday, sell all you got, bring it on in. I'll divide the money. Could you imagine though? These people literally went home, took all that they had, sold it all, brought it to the church, and divided it equally. Now, some of y'all are sitting there thinking, man, I wish that happened. And some of y'all are thinking, ain't no way that's happening. But why not? Because you've worked too hard for your stuff. It's my stuff. It's all mine. Is it? Could it be that maybe, just maybe, God blessed you with a brain that allows you to do what you do, to earn what you earn, to use it for a different purpose than to please yourself? Man, that's hard. I joke all the time about my garage. I never lock my garage. I have lots of expensive tools in there. If you need it, go get it. If you don't bring it back, shame on you. But it's just a tool. I don't have a lot of money. Those are expensive. I would have to replace it. But you know what? If you need it that bad, go get it. And I really mean that, because it's just stuff. Let me tell you why I'd say that. Because you know what's important to me? My relationship with you. My relationship with you is far more important to me than the saying, well, that's a really expensive tool. You don't know how to use it. You can't borrow it. It's just a tool, man. It's just stuff. Now, golf clubs, a little different story, but you can work on me. We'll get there. In fact, I lend my clubs out more than I should. You understand where I'm going with this? Man, we've got some nice stuff at our houses. We've got some nice things. But why should we work ourselves into a hole where we cannot bless someone else when they need it? That's what church is all about. That's what being a member of this great community is all about. Being at the place where we can help each other out when the time has come up. And let me tell you something. Some of you have been recipients of that. And how did that make you feel? Hopefully it made you feel so good that you were willing to do the same for someone else when you can. Some of you are in positions to be able to do it now, but you're stingy. You're greedy. Is that too mean? Oh well. Because these people, they believed in something greater than themselves. They believed in a God who wanted more from them. Not just their heart, not just their words, but he wanted their stuff too. And they believed not only in Jesus, but they believed on him so much so that they gave all their stuff away knowing that Jesus, God, would supply their needs. That's amazing to me. It blows my mind. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not fully there yet. I'm not going to go home and sell all my stuff. I would like to think I was at that place. It's a process, man. It takes some time. But I just, more than anything, I want this life to be more than just coming to church on Sunday mornings. I want this life to be more than just, yeah, I believe in God, I've gotten baptized. I want it to be so a part of your life that you're willing to forsake all. So much focus on God that you don't care whatever else is going on around you. This morning, I made a very broad statement. And you can take it for what it's worth. Hopefully, you won't take me up on it, but I'm going to make it anyway again. I'm so focused on serving here because I love it so much. You don't have to pay me. That's how much I love this job. And it's not a job for me. This is an opportunity to give back to God what he has blessed me with. And truthfully, honestly, I don't say that for you to go, oh, wow, look how humble and awesome he is. I'm being for real with you. If that were to happen, I would just go get another job, figure it out, but I would continue doing what I'm doing. Why? Because I believe so much in this thing. I would sacrifice everything I have to make sure you have something good on Sunday morning. To challenge you in such a way that it will hopefully perpetuate that movement throughout the week. To where when you come in the next Sunday morning, you are so full, you don't hear a word I say. That I just work myself right out of a job. I'd be okay with that. I don't say that arrogantly, I don't say that pompously, I'm just being for real with you because that's how serious I am about this stuff. This is not a joke for me, this is my life. I'm staking everything that I am, I'm staking all of my family on the truth of God. And when I can focus that strongly on him, my participation is lights out, man. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Because that's what I want to be. That's what I'm going to give my life to. That's where I want to be. And I love the fact on number 4 that it talks about continuing daily. This is a daily thing. This is not just a Sunday thing. I don't just live this life on Sundays, just so you know. You can ask Charlie and Janice. We talk about this stuff all week long. We live this stuff out all day long. And it's easier for us, yes, because we're a church. I get that. But it's no different than you. We have headaches and disgruntled employees. Maybe, I don't know. I realize you guys have real lives and real jobs and all that kind of stuff, and some people think that what we do is not really a job. I'm okay with that. The reality is, I know you have tough lives. The reality is, I know life is tough, and I also realize very clearly that trying to live this type of spiritual life in the world that you're having to operate in, I understand 100% how really hard that is. But let me tell you something else I understand at 100%. The God that you serve does not match the stuff that you have to deal with. He is so much better, so much stronger, so much more amazing, so much more consistent. And daily action in Him provides so much more than you could ever imagine. And yet what we try to do is we come in, try to get that boost in our arm, go out, serve for 3 days, come in Wednesday to go group and get another little boost to carry us through Sunday, and then go back out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and live life however we want just to barely scrape ourselves up to get in on Sunday. You don't have to live that way. You don't. Active participation from a proper focus in God allows you every single day to get up and live it as if it's a Sunday. Every day. That's what these folks were doing. They kept their normal lives, but they changed some things in order to accommodate what God wanted to do. And so as we look at this active participation and what they were doing, there was a benefit to their commitment. The benefit to their commitment to the Lord through service in the church is this. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now again, I understand the power of a good message and the need for altar calls. But the thing which will work the best in bringing people to Christ is the church actually living what they say they believe. They stop talking about it and they start actually living it. Every day, all day. Listen, I'm going to do my best every Sunday to give you something to chew on. I get that. But I will never be enough. The Word of God is enough. It will do its job. It will penetrate hearts. But let me tell you something that will speak just as loud. The Word of God living out from you. Maybe you didn't hear me. A good message is good. God's Word is infallible. It does its own job. But think about the power behind it when people see God's Word living out of your life. Every day. Not just on Sunday and you come in Monday and say, yeah, the sermon was good, here's what we learned, and then by Tuesday you're right back. I'm talking about every waking moment of your life, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're at Walmart, whether you're eating at Applebee's or McDonald's or wherever you eat, whatever you're doing, whether you're working out or going bowling or playing softball or knitting or whatever you're doing. Every waking moment. You're living this stuff out because you have a proper focus of who God is in your life. And let me tell you something. When you can do that, your life will speak volumes. And let me tell you something. I can't go to work with you every day. You really don't want me to. So I can't get there and preach to the people that you're around. I can't meet all your neighbors and all your family and all your friends. I can't. I'm one little person. But you can. And the same word that I adhere to my life and that I base everything that I am on, you can too. And that same word is so powerful that it will speak through you and penetrate the very heart of the person that God needs to speak to. You want to grow your church? It's not going to grow because of me. It's going to grow because of God in you. Every day, all day. That's how you're going to grow your church. Look at what they did. That's exactly what happened. They were doing these things. They started their relationship with God. They continued steadfastly. They worshiped together. They broke bread together. They hung out together. And they continued daily. And when they do that, people will start flocking in. Why? Because there's something different about your life. There's something about how you are living your life that is, it is so infectious that people just want to figure it out. And all you're responsible for is just get them in the doors. But how you're living your life. Because your out loud testimony of how you live, I guarantee you, will influence people faster and quicker than I will. That's how this works. See, all y'all thought it was my responsibility. It's on you, not me. So the writer of Hebrews talks to us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. He says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Great passage, and most of the time when you hear this passage, we feel like pastors are talking about don't skip church, don't miss church, don't ever miss church, church is the most important thing, don't ever miss church. I'm going to take it a step further. If you miss church, you miss church. life happens, I get that, I understand that. That's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about don't miss the opportunity to hang out with another believer. You got a chance to go have a lunch date with somebody else that is like-minded like you, that can encourage you, that you can talk to. Don't miss it. Take advantage of it. If you got a go group that you're kind of hit or miss with, that's a good group to be a part of. Get involved in it. Just all out, go. Wednesday nights, I know some of you are tired and it's midweek and it's kind of frustrating to rush home, get all the homework done, fix dinner, and then get the kids here, and then you get home and it's late and blah, blah, blah. Listen, people have been doing Wednesday nights for hundreds of thousands of years. Don't pull that. Don't be lazy. Come to church. This is a great time just to hang out. Listen, it's a great opportunity for your kids to be around other kids. You want to save your children? You want to work on your kids, have a good influence on them? Get them to church. We're not a fix-all, because you got to do it at home too. But if you're doing it daily at home, and then you get them to church and we reinforce it, whoa. It's amazing how that works. So look at some highlights on this verse. Next slide, Lou. It says, let us hold fast. Don't let go of it. Grab a hold and just hold on, man. Hold fast to it. Don't be wavering. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Listen, if you don't regularly meet with somebody to encourage you and challenge you, find somebody and regularly meet with them. Please, I'm telling you. If it needs to be me, set it up, man. I will be wherever you want to be. If it's somebody else that you need to talk to, find somebody. Not only invest in their life, but allow them to invest in your life. This verse is talking about don't miss the opportunities. Don't think it's useless and pointless, because it's not. It also talks about exhorting one another. Challenge each other. Come challenge me. Listen, I've had two questions, or one last Saturday and one, I guess, Thursday. From conversations or text messages, they're questions that blow my mind that I got to go research and think through. That's a challenge for me. That's good. It's healthy for us spiritually. Why can't we do that with each other? Why is this so awkward? Why is this message awkward? Or is it just me? All right, fine. I'm awkward. It's all right. This is awkward conversation for us. Why? Because we don't do it. Oh, it's just me and God. It's my personal. No, it's not. It is just you and God, but then we're all in this together. He's not doing much different with you than he is with me. So let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. Let's do life. Let's actively participate and get our focus where it needs to be. Jesus in Luke 12, he's talking to the disciples, but he had just finished talking to a group of kind of rowdy people, so rowdy that there were so many people, they were trampling each other. That's how big this crowd was. And so he talks to them, and he kind of pulls aside and starts talking to the disciples, and he's talking about all the whole don't worry stuff. You know, don't worry about this, don't worry about that. I got this, I got that. And he ends with this verse. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I have a lot of treasures in this world. I know y'all laugh all the time, but I really do like my golf clubs, because I play well with them. And it's allowed me to focus differently. And when I can focus differently because I have good equipment, then I can actively participate in the game and I get better at it. And when my treasure is on my Heavenly Father, the tools that He has instilled in me, actually in all of us, they kind of come out and they begin to strengthen and show themselves differently. And as I can continue my focus on Him and those tools begin to sharpen and get better and I actively participate in Him, then my focus gets even sharper and I get even more effective. Not for me and a pat on the back, but for Him and His cause. Why? Because it's where my treasure's at. And many of us, even in the church, our treasure is not where it should be. Our focus is not what it needs to be. Our focus is on us and our stuff. And then God is just this little thing over here that we committed to a long time ago and was baptized because that's enough. Folks, in our church, what we're looking for is active participation. not only active participation in many different ways to volunteer. We've got a gazillion different ways to volunteer in our church. I made a plea for kid workers. We're still needing kid workers. Made the announcement for Upward volunteers. If you want to come in and straighten the chairs up, I would love that because it annoys me. If you want to just stand back there and hold a door open and shake hands, if you want to come in and clean the trash, or if you want to volunteer, if you've got a knack that you're really good at it, volunteer. That's the act of participation. If you're not in a go group yet, let us know, man. We will get one going for you. If you are in a go group and you're not really committed to it, don't forsake it. And even more important than that, actively participate in your walk with Christ. This is not something that's a one and done. This is a, I decide now and I continue to walk, continue to figure it out, continue to dig, continue to work, continue to go through painful spots and highlighted spots. But it's an active participation. And for us, our treasure needs to be there. And when our treasure is there, this takes care of itself. Because when our treasure is there, our heart will be there and we will want to experience God in such a unique way. It will cause us to want to be actively participating in this place. But it doesn't stop there. I don't want your active participation just to be here. I want it out there. God wants it out there. When you go to work tomorrow, He expects you to actively participate in your faith around the people that you work with. And I can't tell you what that looks like because I'm not there. But you know. Guarantee you right now in your mind and in your heart, you're thinking of people you should talk to, things you should say differently, things you should avoid while you're at work. Guarantee those three things are floating through your brain. It's pretty scary, isn't it? It's where we all are. It's what we all go through. It's the internal battles of me versus God. I just want to lose a lot more. I'm okay being a loser in that respect. Because my treasure is not here. It's there. And when my treasure is there, my focus is there, my active participation is in overdrive. So here's the first tenet of our membership. And the first thing that we're going to ask you to commit to is this. I will actively participate in the activities of the church. Whatever that may look like. And listen, I'm very well aware that there are going to be things that we're going to choose to do here at our church. It's not going to interest you in the least. And that's okay. You don't have to come to those things. But if it does, there should be no obstacle too big or too small to keep you from coming and being a part of it. One of the things that Sally and I try to do, and again, this is us, not for you, just letting you know a little viewpoint of our lives. We're pretty busy. We have our kids involved in outside church stuff. But we don't work church around that. We work very hard to work the stuff around our first priority. Because our first priority is to make sure our kids love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That they have a relationship with Him. They've been baptized. And that they're involved in church. And that they know this is where it's at. And then when we have time for the other things, then we'll do it. And if we can work around it and figure it out, then we'll do that. But this is priority for us, for my family. For you, it may be different. But what we're encouraging you, if you want to be a member of our church, we want to make sure that you're actively participating, doing all that you can to make sure that you're here to be involved. Because you may have something to offer somebody else that you just didn't know, and you wouldn't know if you didn't show up. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Maybe this morning you've realized not so much participation in church, but maybe just the participation in your personal life, in your personal Christian life, isn't quite where it needs to be. And truthfully, all I want to do this morning is just pray for you. So if that's you, if you know that, you know what, my participation and my treasure is not really where it needs to be, I really need to take a step back and reevaluate this and kind of shore up some things, change my focus. Change my treasure. If that's you this morning, would you just simply lift your hand so I can pray for you this morning? Don't be shy. Thank you. I appreciate that. Man, hands all over the place. Good. Anybody else? Appreciate your honesty. I know that's tough. Now, here's the cool part. I'm going to pray, but it's not a magic prayer. It relies on you actually doing something. So while I'm talking to God on your behalf, would you just simply let Him know that you're serious about this and to ask for His help? and as genuine and as honest as you can be in your heart, expect it. And I'm going to pray. And when I finish praying, the praise team is going to close us out in a song. Gives you the opportunity to come and pray. You can stand to your feet when you're ready. You can leave if you want. I'll be in the back. If you want to come back and talk or you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. Actually, I'm going to ask Charlie to go back there with me. And we're there for you. But this is your time to worshipfully close out this service just between you and God. So again, you can stand and worship however you want to do it. But when the song is over, the service will conclude. Let's pray. God, I love you. I really just appreciate so much who you are. I appreciate your word. And I appreciate the challenges that you bring about. Because it really does challenge us, God, to really look deep inside to see if this is about us or if this is about you. And to really analyze where our treasure lies in that aspect or that situation. And this morning you have truly challenged even my own heart to actively participate. God, you know for me it's easy on Sundays because this is what I do. But Lord, yesterday I blew it. And God, I truly am sorry for that, and I appreciate your forgiveness for that. Thank you for giving me the strength to not blow it today. But help me, God, to actively participate outside of these doors. Help me to quit being so chicken and so selfish and scared. Help me to be bold and courageous. Not for a pat on the back or so people can look at me, but because I want to promote you. I want you to be the center of this stuff. And Lord, you saw the hands, you know the hearts, you know those that wanted to raise their hand and didn't. The ones that are struggling, the ones that know that their participation in this whole thing isn't as active as it needs to be. So I ask specifically this morning that you work on the hearts of the hands that raised. That you give them the courage not only to hear from you and to see what you want them to do, but to actually do it. Empower them, God. Reward them as they do it. Not with some fantastical thing, but just the satisfaction in their heart to know that they have heard from you and they obeyed. Thanks for all that you do. Continue to bless as we finish out with worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen.